Tonight we're looking at a verse that's closely connected to what we looked at last week. Last week, of course, we studied about how we needed to realize that God was working things together for our good, even though we didn't always understand how or see how. And this evening we want to look at how we should be walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, Paul tells us about the difficulties that we'll face and how we need to draw a distinction between what's eternal and what's temporary. He says, therefore, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now notice what he said. He says, we know this. Well, how do we know that? Have we ever seen it? No. Have any of us ever been there? No. Well, then how can we know? We know by faith. He goes on to say in verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So he again and again points out the difference between the spiritual and the physical. The physical is all temporary. It's all passing away. He talks about how we groan while we're in this physical body. And how many times do we groan? How often has somebody said, well, how are you feeling? He said, well, I'm not feeling too good today. I'm hurting today. We have those days. We have a lot of those days. And the older we get, the more of those days there are. Eventually, it seems like those are the only kinds of days. It's like, well, I'm not feeling as bad today as I did yesterday. And it's never I feel good. It's just always I just don't feel as bad as I did the other day. But we understand that there is going to come a time for us, if we're faithful Christians, when we can put all of that pain and all that suffering behind us and have an eternal life where we will never have to experience that pain or sorrow again. But that's all known by faith. None of us have done it. And if we say, well, we know Jesus did. Well, how do we know Jesus did? Did we see Him rise up into the heavens? No. We take it on faith at the words that the apostles and the other New Testament writers wrote to tell us of those events. We don't know. We didn't see it personally. Everything regarding this is taken on faith. We know this and we know that. He said even knowing the terror of the Lord. Well, how do we know the terror of the Lord? Have we experienced the terror of the Lord? No, not really. Were we there in the wilderness when He caused the earth to open up and swallow several thousand people and then close back again? Were we there? No, we weren't there. We didn't see that. We don't know that from that account. We know that by faith. We read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, of course. So we know all of these things by faith. Now the question then to us is, how strong is that faith? Do we really believe it? Do we really know it? Like Paul said, we should. Paul says, we know. Now, if I know that jumping off of the top of a 10-story building is going to kill me, then I'm not going to do it. But there are many times that we say we know something is a sin, or we know it's going to cause heartache or sorrow, or we know this, or we know, and yet we go on and do it, right on and do it anyway. If we know it, if our faith is that strong that we know these things, why do we continue to do them? See, he tells us that we are walking by faith. Our faith should determine each and every step that we take along the way. Most of the time, however, we don't walk by faith. We do walk by sight. And that's something we have to work on. The world needs men, and I might add women, who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-heartedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although all the rest of the world says yes. You see, that's a person of faith. A person who knows what they believe. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know him. Job also says that he knows who he has believed in. Persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him. If we know that, if we believe that, then we're not going to be swayed by everything that happens on this earth. What determines the way you live your life on this earth? Why do you spend your money the way you do? The way you spend your money is determined by what you believe. Oh, you may say, oh, that's not true. I have to spend my money this way. The way you spend your money is based on what you believe. You believe you have to spend your money that way, then that's the way you're going to spend it. But if you believe you can spend it a different way, then you'll spend it a different way. If you believe it's worth it to have your lights cut off so that you can have some beer, then you'll not pay your electric bill and go buy beer, if you believe that. If you believe it's worth it to have a car that's nicer than what you could afford by giving to the church, then you'll cut out your giving to church so you can afford that nicer car, if that's what you believe. You spend your money based on what you believe. Now your faith may or may not be faith in God, but it's faith in something. And that faith, what you believe, what you truly believe, determines how you spend your money. What about how you use your time? Same thing. It's determined by what you believe, what you truly believe, not what you say you believe. Now we can say we believe whatever we want to. We can say we believe that coming to church is the most important thing in our week. Oh, it's the most important thing. But if we don't show up, then we're showing by our actions that what we really believe is going to church really isn't any more important than watching a football game or taking a nap. Because those are the things that we do instead. Faith. What do we really believe? How we use our time. How we spend our money. Why do we associate with the people we associate with? And what do we do with them when we're with them? Are we trying to influence them for good, or are we just going along with them with whatever they're doing? That's determined by what we believe. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we think about the things that we think about? Everything comes back to our frame of mind, what we believe, where our faith lies. Some people have faith in men. Some people have a faith in money. Some people have a faith in science. Some people, but we're called on to have a faith in God. Lots of people have a faith in other things. But we need to determine that we live our lives because of our faith in God and not because of the physical desires that I may have or that you may have. That's not why we live the way we live. If we're living based on our physical desires and what I want to do and what I don't want to do, then we're not sacrificing self for God. We're sacrificing God for self. Do we walk by faith or by sight? We have to understand that this life is temporary. Some of us live our lives as though this is all there is. And so we must get the most out of it that we can get out of it because that's all there is. We may not say we believe that, but that's how we live. And how we live is based on what we truly believe. You see, words are cheap. And the old saying, actions speak louder than words. Our body is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us that, therefore we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, it's dying. We know that. From the time we reach maturity, we begin to die. Oh, it takes us several years to die of old age, or possibly some disease catches us sooner, but eventually we all will die. The body is temporary, but the inward man is being renewed day by day because that's the part of us that's going to live on forever somewhere, and how we live in this life is going to determine where that somewhere is. Our suffering is temporary, he tells us in verse 17. And he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Now, I know most of you have probably suffered some pain sometime in your life. Even the littlest babies, you know, they've suffered some pain. And, just for a moment, no, it hurts for hours and days. And, the pain doesn't stop. It's constant, it's continual, it is eternal. But Paul says, no, that pain, however long it might last in this life, that pain is only for a moment. Now, does that mean that every pain we have only lasts for a few seconds? No. No, that's not what he means. He's making a comparison. It's a moment in comparison to eternity. Well, in comparison to our lives, yeah, we may hurt for days, or months, or years. May hurt your whole life. But in comparison to eternity, it's just a moment. It's just a moment in time. Our focus, of course, should be on the eternal and not the temporary. Because these temporary things will pass away. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You ever tried to look at something that wasn't seen? You ever tried to look at something invisible? That's not easy to do. Look at something that... Just stare at those air molecules right in front of you for a little while. That's kind of hard to do. You go cross-eyed trying to look at something that's invisible. But that's what he said. He said, we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. Well, what does he mean by that? It means that when I walk into someone's home and I see that they're disfigured physically, I don't look at that. I look deeper. I look to see, what is this person like on the inside? Now, there are some folks who physically and to outward appearance look flawless. They look perfect. But inwardly, they're disfigured. Spiritually, they're disfigured. And yet so many times we will fawn before those individuals. Oh, run to want to get all of those autographs of all of those models and actors and actresses because they look perfect on the outside. But they may be horrible people. And yet someone else who is quite unattractive physically might spiritually be a beautiful person. It was said of Jesus by Isaiah, there is no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. There was not anything physically attractive to draw people to Jesus. But spiritually, He was perfect. And we need to learn to look beyond those things which are seen, those things that are on the outside. Look at the things that are eternal, the things that are going to remain. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, we walk by faith, not by sight. And our faith tells us, the Word tells us, that God does not look at man as another man looks at him, but He looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 tells us. And then we see also that we look for another life. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And in this new life, in this new city that we're looking for, we'll have a new heavenly body, 2 Corinthians 15, 1-5 tells us. We know that if this body is destroyed, this tabernacle, the King James calls it, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know. Not we hope, not we think, not we wish, not somebody said, but we can know this. That we will have a new heavenly body. One that won't be racked with pain of cancer and arthritis and memory loss and all of the other things that come with these physical bodies. And no broken bones and no fevers and no illnesses of any kind. That's something to look forward to. And we'll have a new home in heaven with God as well. He tells us in verses 6 and 8. We're confident that we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That will happen at some point in time if we remain faithful to Him. God put eternity into our hearts. It's kind of an odd thing to think about. Well, what do you mean He put eternity into our hearts? Does that mean our hearts will last forever? No. No, but He put that desire for the eternal in our hearts. When He created us, He made us that way. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 tells us that. We need to understand that, as one person had put it, that there is a God-shaped hole in every individual that cannot be filled with anything other than God. You can't fill it with pleasure, you can't fill it with money, you can't fill it with drugs or alcohol or sexuality. There's nothing that will fill that hole in our lives other than God. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, the King James says, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. The New King James says that He set eternity in their hearts. Something that's going to last. Something that's going to continue. That's in our hearts. We know that our soul is going to live on. He set that in our heart. We don't know everything that God has made from beginning to end, but we know that we're going to be with Him after the end of this life. He's put it in our hearts to desire greater things than this. And so many people try to be satisfied with the physical. And it never satisfies. The physical can never be enough. Then third, we also should understand that we should make it our aim to please God because of this. Because we know that there is temporary and eternal. Because we know there's physical and spiritual. Because we know the physical is not going to enter heaven. Because we know only the spiritual can. We should aim to please God. 2 Corinthians 15 and verse 90 says, Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. That's always our desire, to please God. At least it always should be our desire. I know that it's not always our desire. There are some times where we want only to please ourselves. But that's the wrong attitude to have. We have to desire to please Him. Judgment Day is coming. He says in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, good or bad. You know, it's interesting how much the New Testament focuses on the fact that the things we do with this body, in this body, are significant to our spiritual health. That's what we're talking about here, our spiritual health regimen. Our spiritual health is determined in a great degree by what we do in the physical body. And it's interesting that the New Testament focuses on that so much because during the first century, the first major apostasy, the first major false doctrine that arose was a false doctrine that basically said, since your spiritual part and your physical part are different, and so whatever you do in the physical part, it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect your spiritual part. And so these people were behaving in all sorts of immoral ways and thinking, but it's not affecting me spiritually. But Paul, as well as John and the other New Testament writers, make it clear, the things we do in the body are going to matter. It's the things we've done physically in this body that are going to determine whether they're good or whether they're bad. They're going to determine what judgment we receive when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to understand that that judgment day is coming. Jesus came the first time to seek and save the lost. But the second time, He's not going to be seeking and saving anymore. He's going to be hunting and destroying. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. He won't be coming back to give people another chance. They've had all the chances that they're going to get. This is it. This is our last chance. Because of this, because we know that we're going to have to stand before God, because we know we're going to have to give an account and we're going to be judged based on how we've lived this life, because of that, we should warn others. In verse 11, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're reaching out to others. It's not because we don't have anything else that we might would like to do. It's not because we're always all negative and, oh, we just don't ever think of anything positive. No, why are you always bothering me with thinking about things like hell and that's so unpleasant? Well, it's not that. We want to think about heaven and not focus on hell. But the fact that hell exists drives us. It drives us to want to avoid it. Someone wants to say, well, you're always preaching the negative. Why can't you just stick to the positive things? As much as any other preacher, I suppose, I love to preach positive things. That's wonderful. I wish I never had to preach anything negative. But the fact of the matter is, you can't just preach positive because there are negative things that have to be dealt with. If any of you believe that you can just have positive and not negative, you go out to your car and try to start it without that negative post on the battery. Even your car won't start without some negative. Positive and negative, they go together. They work hand in hand to produce the right result. So many times what people mean by that when they say that is, don't tell us we're doing anything wrong because we don't want to feel guilty about it. We don't want to feel like we have to change anything. We want to be just happy to do the way we want to do it. Well, how can you be? How can you be happy to just be doing what you want to do when you know that God's going to judge? You know that that's going to be taken into account on Judgment Day. And of course, if we're aiming to please God, if we're understanding Judgment Day is coming, and we're wanting to warn others, but we also need to be continually doing good. Romans 2, verses 6 through 8 says, He will render to each according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. Now you look at that. By patient continuance. That means continuing, not giving up, going on and on and on like the Energizer Bunny. And I know some of us are, we don't have the energy of the Energizer Bunny. But we have to keep going on anyway. He will give us the strength to continue as long as we need to continue if we'll lean on Him. But He tells us here, these individuals who patiently continue to do good, what is it they're seeking? Glory, honor, and immortality. And then He draws the distinction in verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, guess what they're going to get? Indignation and wrath. And then He continues on to talk about that subject some more. But we look at the difference. If we're seeking immortality, we're seeking to be with God forever, then we're going to do what's good to please Him. If we're seeking selfishly to fulfill the physical desires of our body, then what we're going to wind up with is we're going to not obey the truth, and we're going to receive His wrath. If we walk by faith, and we must walk by faith in order to be saved, if we walk by faith, we'll take God at His word. Acts 27 and verse 25, Paul says, I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. They were in a storm, and he said, it's going to be just like God told me it was going to be. There's no doubt about it. We're all going to be safe if we'll stay with the ship. Everything will be okay. Then he goes on to say that they should not, that you know, someone were trying to leave the ship. He said, don't do that. If you do that, you may be lost. But God told me if you stay with the ship, we'll all be safe. He said, I believe that. I know God said it, and I believe it, and He will do it. Just like He told me He would. What about the things we read in the Bible? Do we believe that God's going to do it just like He told us He would in there? He told us lots of things in there. Do we believe it? We should. If we walk by faith, not only will we take God at His word, but we will then obey that word. Revelation 22, 14 and 15 tells us that. Blessed are those who do His commandments. If we walk by faith, we will be focused on eternity and not on this life. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. We don't need to be focusing always on the physical. I know it's hard when there are wars raging and there are storms raging, as there may be later on this evening. When all these things are happening around us in the physical world, it's easy to get wrapped up in that and to be worried and concerned and focus on those things that are happening around us. But it's at those times when we most need to focus on eternity. If we walk by faith, then we will eagerly wait. And yet, even though we're waiting eagerly, we'll also wait patiently. Those are two things. It's kind of hard to be eager for something and yet also be patient about it. But those are two attributes that we can mix together. We can hope. We can eagerly wait. But because we know it's coming, we can persevere and we can be patient through the difficult times until it does happen. You know, when somebody just says that something might happen, it's kind of hard. You might get excited about it, but then if it doesn't happen real soon, you start to say, well, it's just not going to happen, I guess. And you give up. But when you know something's going to happen, when you know it's coming, then you can continue to make it through the tough times. I think about that sometimes, people treat their income tax returns that way. When they know that income tax return is coming, they know I'm struggling, I'm getting behind on my bill here, but I know I'm going to get that tax return and then I'll be able to catch up. And they're eager for it. They want it today, But they know I'm rich. Now other people, however, run out there and take out a loan and wind up paying half of their income tax return in fees and interest to pay back a loan. They can't wait patiently. They won't wait for it. We've got to be the type of people who we know the promises of God. We will wait for it. Romans 8, 24 and 25 tells us, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We're going to persevere. We're not going to give up because we know through our faith, we know that it's going to happen. We don't know exactly when. That's one of the reasons that God didn't set a deadline, I think. He wants us to keep on keeping on. You know, if somebody says, "Well, I'll see you at 7 o'clock. If they're not there by 5 or 10 after 7 o'clock, you just give up and you may go on about your business and go do something else. You may even leave. And if they show up at 7:30 or 8, well, you missed them. That's one of the reasons. God didn't tell us when He was coming. He just assured us He is coming. That's why we need to be ready at all times. The other thing that if you know somebody's coming at 7 o'clock, you wait until 6:45 to throw those last few things in a closet somewhere so the house looks clean. Because you know you got till 7 o'clock. But God didn't tell us when He was coming. We've got to be ready all the time, anytime. We can't wait till 6:45 and then throw all those dirty thoughts into the closet so nobody sees them. We've got to keep our thoughts pure. We've got to keep our actions pure all the time. Because we don't know when He's coming. And at the hour that we least expect Him may be the time He shows up. If you're here tonight, and perhaps you've been focusing on earthly things, you need to switch your focus. Start looking at the eternal. Walk by faith and not by sight. Work on that this week. Let's strive to be more faith-oriented and less physically-oriented. If you haven't done that in the past, and you need the prayers of the church to help you in the future, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.